In your Bible, please. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I have shared with you on more than one occasion, probably numerous occasions, that in order to understand what God has revealed in His Word, it is first and foremost always a reliance on the Holy Spirit. We open the Word in dependency upon Him. Since the Word has revealed that the revelation herein contained concerns the person of Almighty God, who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do, revealed in the person of His Son, then coming to the Scriptures, in dependency upon the Holy Spirit, we want to see Christ. Because, you see, that's what it's all about. But there is a key that is a simple one that I've shared with you. And that is, as the Scriptures are to be unfolded, we look for often repeated words or phrases. It helps us grasp the point that God is setting forth. And this morning, as we come to verse 7 of chapter 6, we were introduced immediately to an illustration. It's about soil. You'll see it says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain." So keep that in mind. One of the keys this morning as we continue in the 6th chapter has to do with soil, the earth drinking in. Then, when we arrive at those verses after this illustration, we have the word hope and promise set forth three times each. Look there at verse 11. "But we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope." Right? That's a key for us this morning. "Hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, verse 11, hope. Verse 12, promises. Verse 13, you'll notice promise being emphasized again. "For when God made promise to Abraham," and then down in verse 15, "and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Verse 17, "wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise." First key this morning will be in the illustration about soil. Second key will be the recurrence of hope and promise. You see hope there in verse 11. Drop on down to verse 18. "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon," what? "The hope set before us, which hope we Jews have." And you may be wondering about those songs we sung earlier. "As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Right? So as we come to our study this morning, an illustration about soil and an emphasis on hope and promise. The promise and hope inseparably linked. We've already seen in the opening verses of chapter 6 the concern of the writer of Hebrews for those to come all the way to saving faith. You've gotten the basics concerning the Messiah, if you will, the ABCs, the things that You remember through your background of the teaching of the scriptures, the Jews had a great privilege above all people that God had entrusted to them, His Word. And so as they went to the temple, there was the reading of the scriptures. There were those prophets that expounded the Word of God. A great heritage. He says you need to move on from the basics. You don't go back there, laying again that foundation, because that was only partial. It wasn't perfect. It was preparatory. So don't go back there. Go on. And since the phrase really goes like this, you've gotten the ABCs, go on to the Alpha and Omega. Go from the beginning all the way to the end, to faith that rests in the Anointed One, the Messiah. And here's a crucial warning. For those of you who have had the privilege of the Holy Spirit's ministry, if you don't respond, there's no hope. For rejection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, having tasted, having seen and experienced the things of God by the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, if you now set that aside, there's no hope. There's only judgment. And he throws now this illustration in. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. The soil, or the earth, which drinketh in the rain, it takes in the rain and benefits by being nurtured by that which has the purpose of bringing forth fruit. The rain comes for one purpose, to allow the soil to produce. The earth that drinks it in then allows the rain to produce what it's designed to produce. I immediately am reminded, and I think you are probably as well, we talked earlier about those who had tasted, and we said, you know, this wasn't really manja. This was just getting a little taste. And Jesus had said that unless you eat of my flesh, unless you devour, unless you take in fully and allow that which it's designed to produce, unless you take me fully, there's no life. He's the bread of life that came down from heaven. And we said that was a very strong teaching that he was emphasizing. But he also said this, unless a man drinks my blood. Oh, and when he said that, along with this eating my flesh, there were, and this is critical to what we see here in the sixth chapter, there were many who were following him. In fact, the scripture says they were believing on him. They were responding. They were trusting that this is the one that we're looking for. But wait a minute. Oh, that's too much. To eat his flesh, to drink his blood, we're not going there. And so they rejected him. See, he intensifies what it really means to believe on him. It means you come all the way. You partake fully. That's why he then turned to his chosen ones, the 12, and he said, are you going to leave me also? And you remember what Peter said? Where shall we go, Lord? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. What he was saying about himself was the revelation of God that they needed to embrace fully and partake of fully. You remember the fourth chapter of John's Gospel? Sure you do. Jesus is with his disciples. He's going now from the north down to the south. And he chooses to go through Samaria. And it's been a long day. He says to his disciples, go into the city and get some food. And he rests at the well. And a woman comes out. You remember that, don't you? She comes out carrying her water pot. She comes out at a strange time of the day because it was not the normal time to be drawing water, but she didn't want to see anybody there, and she's very upset that she sees a man there, and not only that, it's a man that is obvious by his dress is a Jew, a Galilean Jew. She had hoped to come without anybody drawing attention to her. And this one sitting there says, woman, give me the drink. Just what I need. I came here at this time of the day hoping no one would be here. This is usually the case. And here's this Jew, this Galilean Jew, and he asked me to give him a drink. I'm a woman of Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with one another. That's because the Samaritans, now they thought they were better than the Jews, and the Jews thought they were better than the Samaritans, the Samaritans being a mixed marriage product, but the Samaritans saying, well, we really hold to the first five books of the Old Testament, and you guys really, you know, get into some things. Well, there was this animosity, this separation, this prejudice, and she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And Jesus says to her, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would have asked of him for a drink. And he would have given to you living water. This is strange. I came out here to get a drink, take the water back to the house, and meet this Galilean Jew. He's talking about living water. Okay. Right, give it to me. Give to me that which I didn't come hither to draw. I mean, you talk about an open invitation to close the deal as far as an evangelist is concerned. See? Hit her with the four spiritual laws, Jesus, and, you know, get it over with. What does he say? God has a wonderful... No, he doesn't say that, does he? He says, go call your husband. Why do you think I'm here at this time of the day? I have no husband. Duh. You know, you didn't do that. But, you know, the issue is, no, you don't have a husband, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. You've had five. And he reveals to her her rottenness. But he does that in order to remove it and impart to her that which she did not come to partake of. She came to get physical water. He has spiritual water to give to her. And then she does something. And it's really significant. She leaves her water pot. Now, wait a minute. What she did was significant. She went back into the city and she gave a testimony about this man who told her all things, whatever she had done. He must be the Messiah. Come on out and listen to him. Yes, she did that. But she did something else first. She left her water pot. What's significant about that? Because she left the well with that which he gave her, which she didn't come to draw. She didn't need the water pot. She had now within her a well of living water springing up unto eternal life. That's why John, in his book of the Revelation, in chapter 22, as he brings it to a close, says, come. Come. Come and drink freely of the living water He's just revealed. Fully the person and performance of Jesus Christ. And he says, drink it in. And that's what's happening here in this illustration. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. It produces that which the rain is designed to produce. But, the illustration continues. But, biggest little word in the Bible, an adversative particle, because things change when you read the but. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The rain comes, but the land here doesn't drink it in and produce the desired result. In fact, it comes forth with thorns and briars. And it's not blessed of God, it's cursed of God, and it's deserving of nothing else but to be burned up. Start over. Remember I suggested to you that there's a possibility, and I think I have some biblical basis for believing that the one writing this letter may very well be Mark. I know it's a Jewish evangelist. And I know this. He's got a good grasp of the ministry of the Messiah while he was here on the earth. Mark was not one of the apostles, but he, as a young man, was associated with the Apostle Paul, and even before that and after that, associated with the Apostle Peter. And he gives to us the first of the chronological accounts of what we call the gospel narratives. And what he sets forth in his gospel, Matthew also sets forth, and he may have gotten this from Peter, or maybe Matthew, but both of them record the ministry of Jesus concerning the parable of the sower. You remember that one? Sure you do. It's recorded for us, you don't need to go there, in Mark's gospel chapter 4 and in Matthew's gospel chapter 13. And Jesus gives a parable. And in that parable, we'll flip there, we won't look at it in its entirety, but go to Mark chapter 4. Verse 3 says, hearken, behold, there went a sower to sow, and it came to pass that he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. Here's the parable of the sower. It's going to concern this parable, the sower, the seed, and the soil. And the seed is sown, but it falls first on the wayside. And of course, the fowls of the air come and devour it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Some fell, verse 7, among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. The wayside, the stony ground, the ones with thorns. And then, other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. Now Jesus taught in parables, and the disciples ask him, why do you teach in parables? And the reason he taught in parables, he explains very clearly. He actually quotes from Isaiah the prophet, and he says, because this is the plan of Almighty God, that the Jews hearing won't hear, seeing they won't see. Their hearts continue to be hardened. But you, I'm going to reveal to you the truths concerning the kingdom. And he explains to them the parable. He explains to them and he reminds them that they are getting insight that even the prophets would have liked to have had. And obviously, the nation of Israel had rejected all along. And the parable of the sower has to do with the word of God being sown in hearts. And some hearts are like the wayside. It's gone. Some stony. No depth. Some thorns. Choked out. And I think when it comes to the stony ground, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word and immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a short time, afterward when affliction, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's Hebrews 6. The Jews have been, that he's addressing there, privileged to get the truth concerning the anointed of God. They've tasted, they've seen, they've heard. The Holy Spirit has ministered. He doesn't want to happen to them what he pronounces is no hope if you don't respond fully, if you don't drink it in. See, that's our illustration there in chapter 6. Come on back. Isaiah the prophet. The Jews have hard hearts. The Jewish evangelist writing this letter, which is an impassioned plea for salvation of the Jews, says you have hard hearts. But God, the Holy Spirit's been ministering. Drink it in! Take it in and allow the blessings to come forth. The full embracing of Messiah, the anointed, the kingdom. An earthly kingdom for the Jews, which ultimately will be an eternal kingdom for all who embrace him, drink him in, take him in, find him to be life himself. Look at verse 9. But beloved, see, the other soil doesn't drink it in and it's burned up. But beloved, we are trusting better things of you. The things that are nearby alongside of salvation. We don't want this to be true of you, that you don't drink it in, that you're like this other soil which is no good. It misses out on the blessing. But our passion and our heart's desire and our faith and trust is that there's better things about you. Things that, in my translation, says accompany salvation. Things that are nearby salvation. That's why we're speaking this way. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you Jews have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. That looks like, but it isn't, reference to these are truly saved and they're caring for their brothers who are also saved. No, he's saying, we really believe better things of you because we see these things which surround, which are nearby salvation, your works. And your works are expressing that you care about the Lord's people. Remember, Jesus so often said, you cared for me. You fed me. You gave me a drink. When did we do that, Lord? You did that when you took care of the least of these, my brethren. That's good. And there are these things nearby salvation, but you got to keep coming. You know, there are a lot of people in church. There are a lot of people who have a lot of things about their life that are right next door to salvation. They're right nearby salvation. They may even evidence some things which the scriptures talk about as being the product of a regenerate heart. But they're not regenerate. They're not born again. They haven't taken in the one who is life himself. You got church, got churchiosity, got good works, but don't have Christ. That's one of the great dangers of people in churches today who have come so far, but not all the way. But, there it is again. Your translation may say, and, verse 11, but we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. We want you to come all the way. See, you got these works. They're close, and they surround their nearby salvation, but we need you to be more diligent. He's used that same expression before. Come on over to the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter where he uses the illustration of the nation entering into rest. And he says this in verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. You see, God created all things, and then he rested. You need to find that same kind of rest, reliance upon the finished work. Okay? That means I just trust him. Yeah, but you give diligence to do that. You labor that way. See, you can't labor to gain salvation in that it earns you salvation. But you Jews, you need to come, he says, let us Jews labor, give diligence therefore to enter in to that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's what he's saying again here in chapter 6. And we desire that every one of you to show that same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Come on over to chapter 10. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us Jews draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Come on back to the sixth chapter, verse 11. But we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Remember we said this morning, first key, the soil. drink it in. Don't be the soil that doesn't take it in and therefore is deserving of being burned. But rather, due diligence to come to full assurance of hope, that ye be not slothful, but followers, verse 12, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Come all the way to trust the Anointed One. Our time is gone this morning as far as developing the fullness of that promise, as we're going to see in that hope, which follows down through the rest of the verses. But get this much this morning. The writer of Hebrews is saying, look, here's an illustration for you. Soil that drinks in the rain is blessed of God. It produces what the rain desires to bring forth. The soil that doesn't is destined to judgment. Drink it in fully. Give diligence to enter into the full assurance of hope that is the promise of God. For there is no hope apart from Him who is, as we will see in our future study, the hope of Israel. Father, thank you for these moments this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that in dependency upon your Holy Spirit, you reveal to us your unchanging character, your unchanging conduct, as revealed in the person of your unchanging Son. The sovereign Son. Our sin bearer. Seated. Drink it in. And find life eternal. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Christ's name, amen.